Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for preserving your sanctified ones, O Lord, from all of the works of the beast. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that they're there for a test and a trial and to drive us to holiness and to bring us to our cross and all good things, Lord. All things work together for the good of them that are called according to your purpose, right? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to talk about preserved from the beast. And this will be number one. We're going to start with a revelation that was given to Leon Lunsford. We called it "The Beast Turns on the Harlot in the Church and State." Amen. Thursday morning, early on March the 25th of 2021, I had a dream, and in it I was an observer, not a participant. There was a black man leaning against a chain-link fence. I knew, because the man was black, that he represented in a physical type those who walk in darkness and are submitted to evil. He was well-dressed in a sharp-looking gray suit. He looked to be prosperous. I believe that this man is representing the leadership of the apostate Christianity, including the faction. The gray suit represents walking in death. Proverbs 16 and 12 says this: "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And also 1 Timothy says in 6, 9, and 10, "But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And I believe the chain link fence represents being in chains or bondage and a slave to the beast system, which many Christians are. You know, Paul said in Romans 6 and 16, "Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Many are obedient servants to the beast and the demons involved, and the natural way of life, not the crucified spiritual way to the heavenly kingdom, right? Leon went on to say he was in an age range of 35 to 45 years old. He looked to be about 6 feet tall. I could tell this because a chain link fence is usually about 4 feet high, and six is the number of man, and 666 is the number of the beast. And Revelation 13, 16 through 18 says, "And he causeth all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, this man who appears to be rich, I believe we will see that he represents those who have the spiritual mark of the beast. And many people are going to sell out for their materialistic things, or because they have no faith in God that he can supply their needs, and or because of their false doctrines which permit them to live rather than go to their cross. Okay. Leon said the fence he was leaning against was covered with ivy or some other greenery. It covered the entire area of the fence from where I stood to some distance past the man. I was standing on the same side of the fence as the man. Well, this ivy hides the nature of the fence, which is bondage. Ivy is a strangling, fruitless vine. It can bring down fences and tear up brick walls. It roots itself into mortar in walls and bricks and cracks them. Ezekiel 17 speaks about a vine from 7 through 16. It says, there was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And this, by the way, there were two great eagles, which are actually members of the same country, but one is a beast and another is Egypt. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine that represented God's people who were in bondage to the beast. This vine did bend its roots towards him. In other words, they leaned towards Egypt. And shot forth its branches towards him from the beds of its plantation, that he might water it. It was planted in a good soil by many waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, and that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the fruit thereof, that it may wither, that all its fresh springing leaves may wither, and not by a strong arm or much people can it be raised from the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not wither, utterly wither, when the east wind touches it? It shall wither in the beds where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, and took the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and brought them to him to Babylon. Well, he brought the apostate leadership of God's people into bondage, just as it is now, because of their rebellion against God's command and God's covenant. And he took of the seed royal and made a covenant with him, and he also brought him under a yoke and took away the mighty of the land. Yes, amen. And that's exactly what happened, and history always repeats. The leadership is in bondage to the government of Babylon, which I would say is the deep state, and through the CIA investments through Reverend Moon, I spoke on this years ago, and 501c3 laws. They have to be submitted to the government, or they lose their tax-exempt status, which other people have given up just to not be in bondage to the government. Amen. And 14, so that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses and much people. So these people who tried to escape the rulership of the Babylonish deep state by trusting in the arm of flesh going down to Egypt, where once they were in bondage to the old man. In other words, they were going back to the old man, right? So this trusting in the arm of the flesh so that they can rebel against Babylon has angered God, because he put them in that captivity for a purpose, because they were rebels. They rebelled against his word. This was their chastening. He commanded it. And only he can loose people from that, and it will be through repentance and sanctification. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Shall he break the covenant and yet escape? As I live, says the Lord, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he break, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. And Zedekiah and his leadership did just that, and his sons did just that. They died in Babylon at the hands of what today would be the deep state. And then Leon said, from my right side a beast walked past me on the other side of the fence. He was as tall as all four, he was as tall on all fours as the fence, and I watched his rear end as he went by. He was sort of like a lion, but was green in color. He kind of blended in with the green on the fence as well as the grass. He hugged the fence as he went. Well, I believe the beast hugged the fence because it's his, and because he has a lust to bring the people into bondage through their leadership, which is the guy on the other side of the fence. And the guy trying to escape the leadership of the beast, right? The color green can represent many things here. It represents flesh and a Jezebel spirit, as well as the green movement, you know, the Green New Deal, which the left is purporting, that is part of the beast slash communist system. Yeah. And 1 Peter 1 and 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. It's God's purpose to crucify that old flesh, right? And God was doing that. He had them in bondage in Babylon for that purpose. It was to bring them to repentance, not to rebel against their judgment, because he sent them there. He told them to submit. Leon went on to say, the man saw the beast, and as the beast reached him, the man turned and reached out his hand and laid it on the beast's back, allowing the beast to pass underneath his hand and sort of petting him as he went by. Well, these very foolish backslid leadership of the church think that the beast will be kind to them, but not so. That's not the plan. The man then turned back around and went back to leaning against the fence. The beast went about 10 feet past the man. 10 can represent the law and judgment. And then the beast turned back around, coming back to the man. I believe that God, through the deep state beast, is turning on the wicked Christian leadership and their slaves. Leon said as the beast arrived at the man, he paused a few seconds and looked like he was assessing what he was going to do. He then reared up and caught the man with his teeth at the back of his collar and dragged him over the fence. He took him a short distance away as the man was fighting to get loose. And while there was no sound in this dream, I knew the man was screaming as well. The beast then started biting the man on his head until he was subdued. He then started backing away from that location as he dragged the man off away from the fence with him. Well, that's exactly what happened as a type and a shadow in Ezekiel. We'll get to that a little bit more. But they took the leadership away from the people, took them to Babylon, killed them, so on and so forth. So I believe the man in the suit was eaten by the very beast that had prospered him. You know, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober and be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is not your friend, whom withstand steadfast in your faith." Of course, people that are walking in sin don't have any faith. So, because their heart condemns them, as the scripture says. So that was the end of the dream. And Leon said, "I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and got Ezekiel 14:12. And my finger was on the word." And in context, 12-23. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when a land sinneth against me by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand upon it, and break the staff of the bread thereof, and send famine upon it," but which, by the way, is right after the man-child's in Revelation chapter 6 appearing to start his ministry, there comes this famine, right? And we've already been set up for it. So, "and cut off from it man and beast, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. And if I cause evil beasts to pass through the land, and they ravage it, and it be made desolate, so that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they should deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only should be delivered, but the land should be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off from it man and beast." I don't know if you know about this or not, but I believe the vaccines would qualify as both a spiritual sword and a pestilence, because they are killing people. And they're going to do it a lot more. Verse 18, "Though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they should deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves." Only the righteous will be delivered, he's saying. He makes another comment down below, which is very important, and we don't want to leave it like it is here. So, "If I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my wrath upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast," there's a pestilence, "though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they should deliver neither son nor daughter." "They should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem," which obviously Zedekiah was the leader who was taken into bondage, him and his sons and his leadership, and killed in Babylon. "The sword and the famine and the evil beasts and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be carried forth, both sons and daughters. A remnant will be preserved. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings. They will be a witness. Those who escape will be a witness. And you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. Yes, many people are going to see this falsely as a rebuke or a conquering of Christianity. And it's not so, because this is not Christianity. Christianity is Christlikeness, and these are rebels. And much of the church are rebels, and their leadership leading God's people astray and worshiping a false religious system that they think is the kingdom of heaven. Even concerning all that I have brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when you see their way and their doings. And you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, says the Lord. All right, so God's going to prove that he's just not willy-nilly taking down Christianity. He is instead purging Christianity of this false, evil leadership. And Amber received Jeremiah 5, 1 through 6 on Thursday, 3/25/21, and believed it also went along with Leon's dream. Here it is. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, representing the apostate leadership of Christianity. And see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that doeth justly, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon her. And though they say, as the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, do not thine eyes look upon truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they were not grieved. Yes, they were not truth. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. The extreme example in apostate Christianity is a faction, of course. They are stubborn and rebellious, cannot hear truth at all. Then I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the law of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they know the way of the Lord, and the law of their God. But these with one accord have broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest will slay them. There it is. A wolf of the evenings shall destroy them. A leopard shall watch against their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Yes, that was a dead-on confirmation on that morning of Leon's revelation of the lion destroying the leadership, right? So now here's a revelation, too. This was given to Garrett Crawford on 3/10/21, and we called it God's Elect Spared from the Wrath of the Beast. Oh, praise the Lord. I had a dream about the beast, and I dreamed I was taken inside a factory, almost like an Amazon facility. Well, the Amazon facility represents the world. It's a jungle out there. The world had been totally consumed with the beast nature, and people are running wild like animals, doing whatever feels good, with no restraint, since the enemy has succeeded in taking God out of the schools and the homes and the court system, and there's been a great falling away. Second Timothy 3:1-4 says, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come." Are we in the last days? Of course. "For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Yes, we're very familiar with these people. And they don't even know that they're this way. They've been blinded by Satan. They've been blinded by demons. And they don't even know that they're the most corrupt creatures that call themselves Christians. Well, inside this facility, Garrett said, they were creating the beast. There was a lab for experimentation, and I saw all the body parts of different animals. They were fusing them together, fashioning them into hybrids. They had taken the different animals and used each one's strength and abilities to create one super predator. We know who the super predator is, don't we? This was more of a lab setting, but an old man, the owner of the facility. The old man, of course, rules in the camp of the wicked, right? Asked me if I wanted to see the finished product, the actual beast itself. Well, the end time beast will be a hybrid mix of the seed of all the world ruling beast kingdoms that came before it. Just as Revelation 12 says, it will have 7 heads and 10 horns and a worldwide body. It'll bring the entire world into submission through the mark of the beast, without which no one can buy and sell. And, of course, for that purpose, many will give up their eternal life, and multitudes will take the mark so that they can buy and sell, because they already have the mark in their forehead and in their hand, in their mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. He took me with a few others off-site to a remote location in the middle of nowhere. This was a highly secure area with high fencing and tight security. It was like an African reserve or the Jurassic Park complex. The old man put me inside the gate enclosure and I saw the beast. It was a hybrid of all these different beasts. It was invincible. It had every strength and ability of the greatest animals on earth. It had armor like an armadillo, the speed of a cheetah, and the ferocity of a wolverine. It was the ultimate apex predator. Well, you know, the devil being cast down to the earth will be enraged against the saints of God and will make war on the rest of the seed of the woman. And as you know, the dragon of Revelation 12 is Satan in a body, if you read it carefully. And there are many that call themselves Christians who are members of the dragon, and they even seek to devour the man-child. So, and whilst inside this large enclosure, I watched as it hunted and devoured all the people inside. It had amazing hunting skills, and no prey could survive inside the enclosure with it. Eventually, it killed all the people inside the enclosure. I was the only one left. Evidently, he represents the faithful, right? The beast hunted me and tried to kill me multiple times. I was able to escape, but eventually it had me cornered and I was exhausted. Exhausted from his own strength, right? Now he'll have to be saved by grace, right? Revelation 12:13-17 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent which was now the dragon. The old serpent was now the dragon, and back up on his legs, and a resurrection, so to speak, which is this beast that's being created. The body of the beast, of course, is a part of the dragon, and Satan inhabits it, according to Revelation 12. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast forth out of his mouth. Yep, the lie that the dragon sends out, the world will swallow it. Even the world in the church will swallow it. As you've noticed, people in the church are running to take the vaccine, which changes their DNA to make them humble bond slaves of the beast. Yeah. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed. They keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And Garrett said, I picked up a brick and started to beat it in the head, but it only tore away the thin layer of skin on its head. And this revealed that its head was made of solid iron or steel. And, of course, the end-time beast, 10 toes, or 10 kings, which parable you pick, is a mixture of iron and clay. The iron represents the revived Roman Empire, and the clay is nations that are not a part of the seed of the original Roman Empire. And Daniel 2:41-43 says, And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But there shall be in it of strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron doth not mingle with clay. Yes, for that reason, the stone that's carved out of the mountain can hit it and shatter it completely to pieces. Amen. At this point, I knew I had no options left. I did the last thing I could think of, and that was to show it compassion and love. I held the beast in my arms, even while its ferocious jaws were trying to snap at me. I held it and loved it so long, it eventually stopped trying to kill me and became like a little puppy in my arms. Well, I think you could get the wrong idea about this, but... You know, God's elect, I believe, will receive grace from God to overcome the beast as they show the love and the compassion of Christ to the world. And this is what conquers the beast in our lives, too, and in the world. Amen? People are changed when they see that. Well, he said, not long after the old man came and opened the gate and let me out, and he was very proud of his creation and asked me how I liked it. I was in shock from my experience, but I was glad to be out of the cage with the beast. I knew that it would only be a short time before he would release this beast on the world. Yeah. Well, the first fruits, corporate body of God's elect, are the first ones to battle the beast's nature of the old man and conquer it. But they will bring this knowledge and spirit to those in the 7 years of the tribulation who had previously refused to take up their cross and follow Jesus to die to their flesh. Amen. Okay, in this next revelation, we called it "The Lamb is at the Door." And Claire Pienaar got this on 3/2/21. I dreamed I was inside an African mud hut with a lady named Flora, meaning flower. The mud hut represents our earthly tabernacle in which our spiritual man dwells. God's elect are like the flowers of the grass, and when we are crushed underfoot or crucified for Christ's name's sake, we smell all the sweeter. Yes, amen. It was very dark, possibly the middle of the night. Well, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? Sure. She was scared, and she was about to sacrifice a baby girl in a pink swaddling blanket against her will. I think it was her daughter. The apostate religious system causes the death of our spiritual man by allowing our flesh man to rule over us through false doctrines and greasy grace and, you know, God loves everybody type doctrines and things. They kill our fruit by putting us under their laws and regulations. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And Claire said, I saw a sangoma, or a witch doctor. Witchcraft is in the church doctors of the law, just like it was in the early doctors of the law, and the physical doctors. Witchcraft is from the Greek word pharmakia, meaning using drugs to heal or deliver. And of course, with this, the nations have been deceived, just as Revelation tells us. He walked into the hut from a back door, that's important to remember, and grabbed the baby and threw it up in the air. And as he did this, he thrust the spear that was in his left arm up into the blanket with the intention to mortally wound the child. And she said the African shaman here represents the evil leadership of the church and state that have held the immature Christians captive up until now. Yes, and they have sacrificed the physical and spiritual life of the saints for their own profit and ego. Yeah. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, that's the front door, not the back door, but climbeth up some other way, that's the back door, and the same as a thief and a robber. And he was talking about the religious leaders in that text. Go back and read it. Yes. And that's what happened in the early church. And it's happening in the latter church. The African woman, Flora, just looked on, aghast. I ran to the child, praying silently in the spirit as I came closer to it. And when I picked up the baby, it was cute and chubby and smiling, completely unharmed. And she put the prayers of the bride, protect the baby Christians and their fruit from being harmed by the dark powers in the apostate leaders. This is true. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord open their eyes. Amen. As it was when Queen Esther interceded on behalf of the Jewish people and God spared their lives from the beast in their day, right? Nothing has changed. God hadn't changed. Human nature hadn't changed. So history repeats, right? The sangoma was angry with me and said, Well, if that doesn't do it, nothing will. You will pay. Oh, but the scripture says, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, saith the Lord. The enemy has no power over God's elect. Isaiah 40, 9 through 11. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. Amen. Amen. Then we heard a knock at the front door, and I walked through the mud hut and opened the front door, and there was the bloodied lamb standing there, waiting for us. I was so thrilled to see the lamb, because I knew no dark magic or powers were a match for his redemptive work. Amen. He delivered us out of the powers of darkness, right? Yes. Exodus 12, 21 through 23 says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you lambs according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the doorpost, the lintel, and on the two side posts. And the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Amen. God has complete control over the enemy. And Isaiah 17, 13 and 14 says, the nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but he shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff on the mountains before the wind, and like the whirling dust before the storm. At eventime, behold, terror, and before the morning they are not. This is the portion of them that despoil us, the lot of them that rob us. Who has despoiled and robbed if the deep state hadn't? All over the world, right? I woke up and I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received 1 Peter 1:24 through 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. Yes, the word goes into us and creates in us the word made flesh in us, sons of God. And the flesh is made for crucifixion, right? Amen. I found it interesting that the woman in the dream had the name Flora, and the verse had the word flower in it. Could it be that these flowers are immature Christians who are still in their star glory phase of their Christian walk, and that many will fall away unless we intercede for them? Could the bloodied lamb be Jesus in the bride company, who is coming to save his people from Babylonish religion, just as he first appeared? Amen. Amen. Here's one Claire had. The beast attempts to devour the woman and her seed. And she got this on 12/12/20. And she said, I received this dream on 12/12, which represents corporate and governmental perfection. I dreamed I received a text message from a man named Francois, which means free man. John 8 and 36 says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He was an Afrikaans speaker, and I could hardly read his text. It's not my native tongue, but part of the culture of the place that I was born. I could make out the first sentence, which said, "The man Janus fell, and we must pray." I looked up Janus in Wikipedia. Janus was a Roman god. He's the god of beginnings, gates, transitions, time, duality, doorways, passages, frames, and endings. He is usually depicted as having two faces, since he looks to the future and to the past. Janus was the god of gateways. He was named in the Roman calendar, the first month being January. So there you see beginnings and gateways, right? The Roman Empire would erect phallic-type statues of Janus, and when their armies walked under or passed these, they believed it was a good omen and that they would be victorious in the war. This might be a warning that the world will have its gateway opened in January. Or, my thought here is, Janus and January could just represent the beginning or the gate opening. Yes, I think we may be seeing this now. The sharks in the dream below are hungry. What is perfection for the Antichrist? It's war. This dream is saying Janus has fallen. The Roman Empire, like the deep state, by the way, with its religious and monetary system and human trafficking, is falling. They will attempt to resurrect Janus. Ultimately, it will come as the sharks in the dream below, representing the coming one world order, will attempt to devour everything in the open water, which is the open marketplaces, etc. And yes, the waters represent the peoples, nations, and tongues, I would say. She said, "My first reaction in my dream was, so what? We're not going to pray for a dead man, Janus. We pray for the saints." But I think the Lord was showing me the end of the one kingdom ushered in, that one kingdom ushers in the next kingdom. And yes, we must always pray for the saints. The beast kingdoms cannot harm God's elect. Can it bring them to their cross? Put to death the old man. The flower fadeth. The grass withereth. Right? Amen. I then saw a vision of an ancient map, and I was looking at the Atlantic Ocean between Europe, Africa, and North America. It was a modern map of the continents, but on an ancient-looking map. The map represents the beast kingdoms of the past, present, and future. The Greek kingdom was in the past, and the revived Roman Empire still is, and the worldwide empire is coming. Yes, I would say it is upon us right now. I had asked the Lord when I had woke up from this dream for a word by faith at random and received Ezekiel 27:9. My finger was on the word Javan, which means Greek. The Greeks were the world rulers between the Old and the New Testaments. Ezekiel 27:19 says, "Vidan and Javan traded with yarn for thy wares. Bright iron, cassia, calamus were among thy merchandise." Javan was the fourth son of Japheth, Noah's son. And according to generations of Noah, it's considered the root of the Greeks. Genesis 10:2. Also, the number 4 means creation or world. Together, Javan and Janus represent two beast kingdoms. One is past and the other is currently falling to give rise to the end time beast kingdom that seeks to devour the whole earth. She said, as I was looking at the Atlantic Ocean, there was a huge shark under the water, smiling and showing his teeth. He was very hungry. There were no fish in the ocean. However, I zoomed out and I saw fish in the little lakes and in inland seas like the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, and dams that were teeming with fish. These little fish were white and fat and happy, with little smiles on their faces, doing a little dance on their back tail fins. So there weren't any fish in the ocean, and only this predator who had gobbled them up, no doubt. And so they were inside the body of this predator beast, which is where the world is, right? And the waters represent this too. So all this represents a mass exodus of God's elect out of the Babylonish apostate church system, which is part of the beast. And they're coming out as a result of the great awakening and will be gathered together in the wilderness, refuges and underground home churches to escape the wrath of the dragon who is cast down upon the earth. They will be fat and happy, being fed with the unleavened bread of the man-child reformers. Amen. And God is working all things for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? Everything, the beast too. He's telling us far ahead of time that these things are going to happen. And it is, of course, to separate the wheat from the tares, and the goats from the sheep. Revelation 12, 13 through 17 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given unto the woman two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river. That's deception. Water represents words, but also it can be deception, as this coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The earth, of course, will swallow the lie, the lying, deceptive words. And that's how you'll know it's deception and lies and from the devil, because the earth swallows it. The earth's not going to swallow the truth. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Well, amen. Little gray birds flew over the sea from Africa and Europe and North America. As they touched the sea's surface, they were either devoured by the beast shark or they flew away just in time but found nowhere to land. I think that these little gray birds could represent the rest of the seed of the woman that the dragon goes away to make war on after his failure to swallow up bride and the man-child. And they are gray because many of them will be killed or martyred. They're living in death, right? But God has got the plan, right? And the Bible says he will wear out the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7, 23 through 27. Their strength will be taken away, and they will have to come by grace, God's power, right? Daniel 7:23-27. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And as for the ten horns, out of this kingdom shall ten kings arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the former, and he shall put down three kings. And he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and a half a time. But the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen. The gray birds may also represent those who pretend to be in the heavenlies or in the spiritual realm, but actually have unclean spirits and try to fly over the dangerous open water. And the harlot is arrogant enough to do this. She straddles the beast and ends up devouring her. Revelation 17:3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So in the dream, the beast or shark is so hungry for the blood of the saints that it will take the gray birds down for their stupidity and arrogance. Revelation 18:15-18. The merchants of these things, who were made rich by her, stand far off for the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. The little fish in the small ponds and lakes and dams, inland seas, were numerous. The believers who are overcomers or sanctified ones will escape the sharks and be safe as long as they keep swimming against the current, upstream and away from the strong current that wants to carry them into the open waters of the world. They're happy because the joy of the Lord is their strength, and they live a sacrificial life which is pleasing to the Father. They were only white fish in the dams and the lakes. I didn't see any colored ones. Of course, we know the bride is colored or clothed in a lampros garment, bright and pure, which represents the righteous acts of the saints. You know, this light, of course, has all of the many colors of the rainbow in a prism, right? So let us rejoice, Revelation 17:7-8, and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Amen. Then I was looking again at the map, and I zoomed out even more, and I saw two more sharks, one below India and in the Indian Ocean, and one between China, Australia, and the other side of the USA in the Pacific Ocean. And this shark was the biggest one. It took up most of the space of the available blue space or waters of this map, namely the Pacific Ocean. And the map became more modern as I moved east, and this shows the progression of the antiquity to the current modern period. In my dream, I prayed for the little fish in all these little dams and lakes to remain safe. There were almost no fish in Australia, but Africa was teeming with little fish, even though the continent does not have a great amount of natural lakes. And this is not physical, praise God, this is spiritual. There's a great revival that's currently sweeping through parts of Africa and and they call Australia the land down under, representing a people who are earthly and from beneath. But we have some really good friends there that are lights in the darkness, right? And God's elect are born from above and seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I believe that these sharks are members of the one body of the many-headed beast that swim in the sea, which Revelation says, all the tribes, nations, and tongues, so on. And this dream is showing us a time after the man, child, and bride are chosen, a time with many white fish and a time of revival while the beast destroys the harlot. Amen. And I asked the Lord for another word by faith at random and received Jeremiah 42:18. On my fingers on the words, you shall be an execration and an astonishment. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my wrath hath been poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my wrath be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. And of course, the beast will devour the harlot who trusts in the arm of the flesh, and God's people will be preserved. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, all right. God bless you, saints, and thank you so much for joining us today for this revelation, and be in prayer for the people that are coming out of the world. Amen. All right. Good night, saints.